Well, hello everyone, and welcome to today's teleclass, The Fecal Quandary, Bedpan Management in a Modern Age. My name is Paul Weber, and I am really glad that you have joined us today. Our speaker for today's teleclass is Gerty van Knippenberg-Gordebeck, or as she is more commonly known, the Bedpan Lady. Gerty started as one of the Netherlands' first infection control nurses way back in 1978. She has worked with and trained infection control practitioners in her country for more than 30 years. She was on the board of the International Federation of Infection Control for, I think, a decade or close to it. She has developed an internationally renowned expertise in bedpan management, and she travels the world as a consultant and speaker. In fact, I first met Gerty almost 10 years ago at an IFIC conference, I think in Malta, and she is not someone who is easily forgotten. And if you ever have a chance to meet Gerty, you'll see what I mean. She is a wonderful person. She has an energy and enthusiasm that is infectious, and I am delighted that she could make this time for us. I'd also like to acknowledge MECO and their support of this teleclass. The nice people at MECO are big on education, and I'm really honored with their sponsorship of the teleclass education program. So thank you to everyone at MECO. Now, to present The Fecal Quandary, Bedpan Management in a Modern Age, I am pleased to present the one and the absolute only, Gerty. Over to you.
Thank you, Paul. What a welcome. Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all the colleagues and all friends and all other listeners who I don't know yet all over the world. It's a very great honor, really, for me today that Paul invited me to give this teleclass on this special day. I also want to say that everything what I say and all my conclusions are from a lot of studies that I did through the years, and are all my ideas and findings. But first of all, also congratulations to Paul Weber and his teleclass. He does a tremendous job with all these lectures and to give free for people from low-income country. And I think I love that. Also today, this nice bundle of tulips I want to give to all the nurses in the world. Why? Because today, it's International Nursing Day, 12 May. I know this day from the very beginning when I started in 1968 in the hospital. They already told us it's Nursing Day. And Nursing Day was on the birthday of Florence Nightingale, well known as the lady with the lamp. But she did much more as only walking with lamps. She was the founder of the professional nursing. That's what a lot of people know. But she also advocates for improvement of care and hygiene. And by that improvement, she reduced the mortality rate in the lazarets in Turkey, but also later in hospitals in London, to a dramatic drop. But she was not only working on the wards, she also was writing books. And with some statistics in London, I forgot the name now, she wrote the book Notes on Nursing and Notes on Hospitals, the two most famous. And I can advise to every nurse in the world, please try to read once in your life Notes on Nursing, what is and what is not. It's still, after 100 years, it's still modern. Notes on Hospitals. Already 100 years ago, she wrote about sanitary techniques to medical facilities. Amazing, unbelievable, isn't it? The only problem is, like Samuels wrote about hand hygiene, she wrote about better care. Still a lot has to be done in the world. Do no harm, famous word first from Hippocrates, the god for the, not the god, but the man for the medical physicians, and Florence Nightingale took these words, do no harm. Three simple words. It's still important in 2011, do no harm. But still, a lot of harm happens to patients. And even if you see to the healthcare-associated infections, we all know in the Western world, in the rich countries, 10% of patients admitted in hospitals develop an infection. It can be less, more or less, less, but 10%, that is a big amount. More people develop infections and die from infections developed in hospitals as people die from a car accident. Realize that. If you are on an intensive care, then you have 25% chance that you got an infection. And if you live in a low-income country and you got admitted as a patient, the risk is very high. And this is all harm what mostly can be prevented. For a resume, the risk factors, there are a lot, but here are some. The antimicrobial resistant, human behavior, staff shortage, we all know that. But also the differences in medical and nursing care, but also the difference in nursing and medical rituals and in culture. Then the resource availability, lack of equipment, and that's not only in the poor countries, in the low-income countries. Poor decontamination methods, deferred maintenance, lack of knowledge about the chain of infection. Everybody in infection control world knows the chain of infection. But does all doctors and physicians and nurses and all other healthcare personnel, do they know this chain? If they know the chain, then they know how to break the chain. And basic rule number one to break the chain is very simple, hand hygiene. Last week it was 5 May, and there was an excellent lecture also on the Weber class about this hand hygiene and the five moments and how many countries now are involved in this program. Very simple, and every patient and every not medical person says, yes, of course, hand hygiene is important. The amazing thing is, in hospitals, the compliance is between 20 and 40%, and that is very dangerous. If you know the chain of infection, then this rule number one is this one, cleaning and disinfection. Also so basic, so simple. But realize, every day, 2.5 billion of people in the world suffer from lack of access to improved sanitation. And if there is sanitation, then sometimes it looks like in this picture. These are pictures I took myself or I got from colleagues. And this is in healthcare settings. Can you see, can you imagine, and can you imagine how easily cross-contamination can appear? This is a major concern nowadays, the Clostridium difficile-associated disease. The Clostridium difficile is a bacteria with spora and who is very difficult to eliminate. And more cases are per year admitted to the hospitals. But the problem is, if people coming to the hospital and are already colonized with C. diff, it's very easy to spread it around in the hospital. So we have to be aware. People with this severe disease have a lot of severe diarrhea. And that brings me, diarrhea is feces. And normally feces is produced only 1 to 2 times a day. But if you have diarrhea, it can happen that a patient has to go to the toilet or needs a bedpan between 10 to 40, 40 times. Then we must think, feces host a lot of microorganisms. We have a lot of friends, and we need these friends. But they include in your gut, in your bowel, the feces includes also multi-drug-resistant organisms, the MDRO. We must realize that more than 10% of hospitalized patients may be colonized already with the C. diff. Nowadays, there's a lot of concern about the increasing prevalence of multi-drug resistance, and especially among the gram-negative bacilli and among ESBL-producing gram-negative bacilli. It's a real concern, maybe greater problem as the MRSA was and is. And all these bacteria, all these pathogens are transmitted through the hospital between patients and involves a complex interaction of contaminated surface, clothing and hands of healthcare personnel. And that brings me already during the bedpan management, there are lots of opportunities for transmission and contamination. Think about that. We all know that, but think about that. Full bedpans contaminate hands and environment. The hands can contaminate the environment and patients. Contaminate environment can contaminate the hands. How often are we touching the walls, the beds, the rails, the items without thinking? And these items and environment can be heavily contaminated. And bedpans and hands can transmit all these microorganisms. So it affects all the chain. This is not a new insight. I have a book from 1956 written by Dr. Perkins in the U.S., and he wrote, in these old books I made some copies of, the objective in the handling of bedpans and urinals is to dispose of the excreta under the most sanitary and least offensive conditions, and at the same time to disinfect the utensils. And we see under the pictures, we see mostly to the right, the nurse is emptying it in a slop hopper, but I took it on the wrong side, sorry for that. Upside, you see already a machine where the bedpan is putting in. In 1956, long time ago, a lot of you were not born yet. And surface and commodes are nowadays often mentioned in literatures and lectures. But what about the bedpan? Here you see a commode. If you turn it upside down, and do it please in your own hospitals, go to 3 commodes, turn them upside down, and you will be shocked what you find beneath. And these are often mentioned in outbreaks and resources and sources for infections. What again about the bedpan? I did a little search about publications and bedpans. I took 5 issues in 208 and 211. And the PubMed at the left side, you see, it's not much publications I found in PubMed. There's a very small, I think you cannot name this a rise, some little more, but not much. And then bedpans and infection, 20 publications I found in PubMed. Nosocomial infections, hospital-associated infections, healthcare-associated infections, all different names for the same subject. But you have to search for that, otherwise you miss. And then I told you Clostridium with heavily diarrhea, you should expect that there would be studies for bedpans. Only 5. And the American Journal at the right side of infection control, I didn't research in 2008, but in 2011 it's nearly similar. Then I got a new site, Outbreak Database. It was from a lecture from Dr. von Berg from Germany last month. It's a free database for everybody. You can log in for yourself. I did a search with bedpan, and I found only for outbreaks 7 results as one of the reasons involved in healthcare-associated infections. And then you find a wash basin from the bedpan washing room, or you call it also sluice room or dirty utility room. Then the toilet flush handles, and malfunction of the bedpan washer disinfectors. So not much publication. So that's maybe the reason that people think, well, we don't read about it, so there is no problem. But I know there is a problem, and I knew that already 30 years ago. Then I got infected by my medical microbiologist, who asked me, go around the hospital, go and search and see what the people are doing to clean the bedpans, because he told me the story, what I tell you, about the infection chain, about the risk, about already then the multi-drug resistance. He was one of the founders of the latest European guidelines. Unfortunately, he died too early. But 20 years ago, I started all to do a bedpan survey in the Netherlands. Last year, I did it international. I sent a survey to a lot of hospitals, to colleagues in 160 countries. I sent one mail and I sent after that two reminders. The questions included about emptying and decontamination bedpans. Is there an audit for sluice rooms? Are you aware of the ISO standards? I come back later on that. Can you identify if bedpans or washer disinfectors has played a role in healthcare acquired infections? And do you have national or international handling guidelines for handling bedpans? The result of the survey, I cannot tell everything, of course, but I had only a lot didn't reply. And also on the top of the screen, you see 122 were unroutable, untraceable addresses, because a lot of colleagues change every year another address for the mail. I don't know why. It's very difficult to hold contact then. But there are some amazing answers on it. 21 said, well, we have no time to answer, and I feel very sorry for them. But 17 colleagues said, well, we don't answer because he wrote to me, this is not a subject for us, it's only for technicians. And that shocked me. And what also shocked me was 15 told me, well, sorry, Gertie, we are not allowed from the hospital to answer you on these questions. The responding hospitals from the Netherlands, Europe, and the rest of the world, the biggest one, biggest group is from Holland. Western Europe, 34, the same in East and South Europe. I make the difference in Europe because Western and East and South Europe, there's really differences in income from the countries, but also in the practice in hospitals and the rituals and the practices used. Then I put Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Eastern Mediterranean region together because they are low-income countries mostly, and the rest you see on this slide. I put these countries and behind them the numbers who responded, and they are alphabetical form. And of course they don't represent the world, but it is an impression what's going on. There were some remarkable things. 13 colleagues from hospitals answered me, we do not use bedpans or urinals. Every bedridden patient got a urine catheter or a diaper. 65 nurses empty bedpans manually into the toilet or slop hopper, and even if they have a washer disinfector. And 22% had measures for C. diff. And what also struck me was 8% was single-use bedpans per stay, and that was mostly in the U.S. and some in Canada. And after the stay, the patient got his bedpan home or they throw it away. But in between, during use, they regularly sprayed it after use or sprinted it or rinsed it, and that was it. And 7% sent the bedpans to the CSA, CSDD. But how did they clean it? They couldn't tell me. I asked for the question, washer disinfectors and bedpans, are they mentioned as source of healthcare-acquired infections in your settings? And you see, only East and South Europe said zero, but the rest, the figures differ from 4 to 21% in West Europe. They said yes, they played a role. And the reported microorganisms were Pseudomonas aeruginosa, Emerysiae, Clostridium difficile, norovirus, and Salmonella species. Unfortunately, nobody published these events. Enteric precautions, ancient times, 2011. Look to the differences and look to the same things. And I marked it red. Emptying a bedpan happened in these days in small streets, and the bedpan who was hidden under the bed, they throw it in the streets. And sometimes you got lucky if you were not hit by some drops. There is a difference. There are not many people around. But you splash and splatter in 2011 if you empty like this. Basic precautions. Hand hygiene and personal hygiene. Cleaning, disinfection, aseptic technique, and waste handling. And the WHO make categories of waste. Did you know that? And also for infectious waste. And that means suspected to contain pathogens from isolation wards, material or equipment that have been in contact with infected patients or contaminated excreta. But how do we recognize infected patients? They all look the same at the outside. Even if it's not diagnosed in a lab, every patient can be infected or at least contaminated. So all kind of human waste containers, bedpans, urinals, washing basins, affects every link in the chain. This direct patient contact, multi-drug resistance are mostly involved. If it's not cleaned properly, it's a huge reservoir. Transmission through the hands and contamination during the hands. So I was wondering, do you have guidelines and rules for bedpans? And I cannot put them all. But sometimes I'm shocked. In 2003 in UK, in sorry, US, North Carolina, it's only some small parts of the rules, where bedpans are cleaned in patients' rooms, minimum bedpan cleaning facilities shall consist of a toilet room with bedpan lugs or spray arms. Nothing telling about they think this is enough. With facilities for cleaning bedpans are not provided in patients' room, bedpans shall be taken to a soiled utility room to be cleaned and disinfected using use. I come back to that later. Are the guidelines specific for C. diff? We do that in Holland. But here, UK, Scotland, and on the bottom of Canada. And if you read, in UK, urine feces should be disposed in a macerator. And I know in UK, they are using mostly macerators, or mostly, I'm not sure of that, but a lot of macerators. And they see clean and disinfect the bedpans with careful attention to toilets, bathrooms and sluices, commodes and bedpans. But what is careful attention? It's for everybody. It's not clear written. Then in Scotland, all care equipment should be carefully cleaned. What is carefully cleaned? What is all care equipment? It's not, in my eyes, specific enough. In Canada, disinfection or sterilization maybe, etc., under the last, e.g. bedpans. For me, maybe is not enough. You should write must, in my opinion. And I'm very happy to show you some rules from Sweden and Holland, and I know German has good rules. Sweden, and I like the sentence in red, always disinfect your hands before taking out the clean goods from the disinfector, because it's an often forgotten item. And in Holland, we have guidelines for C. diff. In the case of C. diff, a bedpan must be used and must be placed immediately in a bedpan washer. And we do have, since a long time, rules for bedpan washers and for bedpans. Bedpans should be decontaminated, and decontamination is a process which involves cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization. And what choice you take depends on budget and knowledge and risks. Sorry, I forgot to tell you always, next slide please, but I hope you followed me, missed the slide. I will hopefully think about it. Spalding's classification scheme. if you talk about disaffection, it's coming always up. From the U.S., from 1968, Dr. Spaulding's make a very nice scheme for critical items to be decontaminated, semi-critical items, and non-critical items. But here is the issue. Non-critical items, items and practices that involve intact skin and represent the lowest level of risk, as bedpans, blood pressure cuffs, etc. One problem with implementing this scheme, and we definitely think this in Holland, is oversimplification. You cannot compare blood pressures, cuffs, with bedpans. Coming back to disinfections. The efficiency of the disinfection depends about the design of the items, the load what is present, the organic and inorganic load, the microcontamination. We don't know how much microorganisms are present in the item. Is there a cleaning episode before the disinfection? Often forgotten item. What is the reliability of the chosen method? The exposure time. Every disinfection needs to have an exposure time. But is that always followed? The frequency. In patient safety world, they often say to err is human, and we must prevent to err. So also to err is human in decontamination bedpans. Manual chemical disinfection. It's not a safe procedure. And look at the risk. There's always an exposure risk. False sense of security. And I think this is the most important, because if it smells like chlorine, everybody thinks it's safe. But it is not safe. We go to slide 31 now, please. Machinal disinfection is always preferred because standard operator procedure of called SOP. It's always possible with a thermal disinfection, but that's only possible when you have to validate, when the machine is validated. There's possible a continuous monitoring. It's always more reliable than chemicals. And no residues are left over, and it is non-toxic. Bedpan management. 32, the slide. This involves patient care, transport, emptying, flushing, cleaning, loading, disinfection, drying, and storage. Did you ever imagine that it has so much involved in that management? Patient care. I know as a nurse starting a long time ago, it was not my favorite task, but it has to be done. And after a week, you got used about to work with feces and urine and vomits, etc. And it's just the part of work and you don't think about it any longer. And that happens still nowadays. But after that, the bedpan has to transport to empty. And look, this is not as simple as we might think, or as you might think. Some colleagues sent me pictures, and to the left upstairs in slide 34, this is a bedpan without a lid, and the nurses put a lot of bundle of gauzes in it to protect the content. Then you can easily transport it. But before emptying, you have to remove all these gauzes and then empty. So, very dangerous procedure. Beneath this picture, I saw somewhere a trolley, and they transported the bedpans with this trolley. Very handsome, very nice. The problem was they never cleaned inside the trolley. So, hidden source, hidden reservoir. At the right in this picture, 34, you see a nurse, and this looks very good. She is wearing an apron to protect herself. She is wearing gloves, but here's the trick. Did she wear the gloves to bring away the bedpan, or are these gloves still the same as cleaning the patient? Ask your nurses if you observe them. And this bedpan, I come back to that later. Go to the next. Transport to empty. For transport, the OSHA says specimens of blood or other infectious materials shall be placed in a container which prevents leakage during collections, handling, processing, etc. Why are no written precautions for transport of full bedpans? Emptying. The next slide, 36. Emptying in, so I think most of the part are emptying by hands, manual, in a slog hopper, in a toilet, or like the toilets they use in East, in the East, in the Far East, and in the Middle East, toilets in the floor, built in the floor. And we realize the environment is not always directly cleaned afterwards. And microorganisms survive for months in dry surfaces, but also in moist environments. And spores, remember the C. diff spores, if not cleaned and removed directly, can survive for a long time. So a huge risk. Sink and slop hoppers. I hate them, but they are still in use. And I must admit, even in my country, in some hospitals. Here you flush, here you rinse, you use the water spray, there's no disinfection, always disinfectants, always handling by hands, and realize about all the splash and the splatter and all these aerosols. The left picture, everybody can see this is a reservoir and a dangerous place. To the right, the first thing, it looks very clean. It's white and clean, but a hidden reservoir, believe me. I ask cleaning with water sprayers, brush, or rinsing water in my survey. The Netherlands, 0% cleaned with hands, and I'm very happy with that. And then you see a rise in the graphs. And even in US and Canada, I suspected that everybody should know that manual cleaning should be not done. But you see this with the results. And daily practice is a risk for the healthcare workers and a risk for the environment. But something hardly noticed, especially now, see this nurse. And I did it the same. You bend a little bit and your nose and face is very close to the subject. And then you can inspect a little bit the content as well. You do that as a nurse if you are not warned that this is a risk for splash and splatter. Cleaning episodes. These pictures I got from colleagues as well. And here on the left in the corner, slide 40, this bedpan was cleaned, but the nurse noted after getting it out from the washer disinfected, it was not clean at all. And she soaked it in a liquid disinfectant. For how long? The fault of her was she didn't tell anybody that the washer disinfectant didn't work properly. Down under, this bedpan was found and accepted as being cleaned. But look at it. It's not cleaned. There are rest of features in it. And on the right side, and I must admit a lot of hospitals are using places like this, not clean, dirty, rusty places with only cold water to rinse a little bit after emptying the bedpan. So no safe procedures. And manual cleaning, everybody knows in the world by many literature studies, 50% is touched only by manual cleaning. A picture at 41 is a picture from my OR, operating theater in Venlo, and you see that it was after final MRSA cleaning, they used the wrong product. It got an interaction with the paint on the walls, and what happened? The paint was colored on the places they hit the place. Is it a beautiful picture that you can see only 50% is touch? But the bedpans, do you think if they are cleaned manual, will they 100% touched by cleaning and by disinfected manual? I don't believe so. The loading, if you have a washer disinfector, you have more practice and best practice. You have to teach the nurses or whoever is emptying the bedpan how to use the machine. And here to the left picture, you see a canister. If you Use it like this way and put it just, well, fill it in as much as possible. Never ever water supply will come into the canister, and then there will no disinfection. Manual disinfection of bedpans. How often does that happen in the world? Netherlands and West Europe, 0%, as Australia and New Zealand. East and South Europe, a lot. In low-income countries, mostly it's done disinfection. And a lot of people answered me, if we have a disinfector, we use always different size, different brands. In US and Canada, even there is manual disinfection done. And manual handling, the OSHA said, down on on slide 44, occupational exposure means reasonable anticipated skin, eye, mucous membrane, or parenteral contact with blood or other potential infectious materials that may be a result from the performance of an employee's duties. What do you think about this picture, this man cleaning bedpans? Do you think he's protected with personal protective equipment? Yes, he has gloves, but what is he doing all day with these gloves? Does he know anything about responsibility, about proper work practice, about hazard communication? A lot has to be done. Other potential infectious materials means the following human body fluids, and you can read all this for yourself, but at the last, and all body fluids in situation where it is difficult or impossible to differentiate between body fluids. Well, how often see you on the text on 45 slide? How often do you see blood or bloody substances in bloody diarrhea, bloody urine? So often, and all practitioners and all nurses and doctors know that. We go back to the next point in bedpan management, the drying aspect. You can do it in different ways. Left in the 46 slide, you can hang it upside down. But if you don't dry it properly, some drops can go to the bottom and form a reservoir. Down under this slide, they dry on the air. And I think that's much better if you don't have a clean towel. If you don't have nothing else, this is a possibility. And I learned from a lot of nurses in Africa, if you don't have anything and if you don't have money, be aware of the bedpans and clean it and let them dry outside in the sun. Use the nature disinfection. At the right, you have inside of the bedpan, and this was stored, but you see it was not cleaned and dried properly. So a huge potential reservoir, if you can realize that one drop of water can host millions of bacteria. Another point, storage. If it's clean, and where do you store your bedpans? Different methods, different countries. Very often, there's no separation between clean and contaminated. There's mostly not much attention for. The room is too full, not well equipped. It's not a recognized problem. Left in the bottom on slide 47, you see an open bedpan, very close to clean and the dirty ones together. To the right one, these nurses put every clean bedpan in a plastic bag. But when I opened this bag, the problem was it was not dry inside. And then I think you have even more danger, wet and a higher a breeding temperature. And to the other picture, I come back later. Sluice rooms all over the world differs a lot. I told already they don't have a lot of attention. They are not clean, they are packed, and go and please visit once in your life a sluice room. The risk, major risk, are slop hoppers if they are not used well. Slop hoppers, you see, the big picture on slide 49, this is after cleaning. They said, really, yes, this is cleaned by the person who is responsible for that. But look at this result. Rust and features rests. a huge reservoir. Then the small pictures on slide 49, there are a glove and a brush together. The glove is used, they told me, when they took the warm bedpan outside the washer disinfector, and the brush they use to clean dirty bedpans because they don't trash always the washer disinfectors. I told this nurse, go to your infection control nurses, go to your maintenance departments, and tell them that there is some failure in the washer disinfector. Another risk, the bedpan sprayers, and I mentioned that before, and this used still too much. And Dr. Michelle Alpha from Canada always mentioned it. The aerosolation of fecal material is a major concern when bedpan sprayers are being used. And here again, this picture looks so nice, the left on slide 50. But please see the risk. It's also a huge reservoir if you use this again and again. The requirements for a dirty utility room and sluice room is important that you have a well-planned sluice room because it does play a role in infection prevention. Really, it does. If you plan this room, it must be a reasonable distance from patients' rooms, of course. You don't need to walk for 1 kilometer or 1 mile to reach it. Hand hygiene dispensers must be available. And you should be surprised how many sluice rooms don't have hand hygiene dispensers. I ask you, how come? It should be good to make a connection to the drainage system. Then, when you buy a washer disinfector, you can easily put on it, connect it on it. There must be a possibility to separate the clean and the not clean items, so that there is a protection against the recontamination. And above all, everything must be easy to maintain and very easy to clean. So my favorite job, and you can imagine, as Paul mentioned me, Miss Bedpan, and sometimes they call me Miss Bedpan Queen, and sometimes it was a nickname given by my colleagues in Holland, but now it's already adapted by international colleagues, because for 30 years and more I went to the dirty utility room and I focused on what people do. Is there a separation between the clean and not clean? I took photographs. And important, if you go to it, use your nose. Does it smell? Use your eyes. How does it look like? And this picture is made up for a lecture, and this was some people of my team. But look inside, is it clean, and look at the urinals. A microbial check, I don't promote this, that's why it's the question mark there, because if you do it, you must do it with specific ways. Better is to use the audit and an audit form so you can feedback the ward with the results. This form was made by my colleague Margaret Buller from Baden, and she made a list so that you could go regular to the washer disinfector and see how the utensils were cleaned and if they were cleaned and how everything was done. This brings me to the washer disinfector. Now, since 2006, we have an ISO norm, International Standard 15883, with 6 parts. Part 1 is the general requirements, Part 2 for surgical instruments and anesthetic equipment, 3 for human waste containers as bedpans, 4 for endoscopes, 5 test stalls, and 6 requirement and tests. Part 2 and 4, some people know them in the world. You see, awareness, I asked, who of you do know this standard? And I was surprised in my own country, because our guideline for the bedpan washer is based on it, only 57% knew it. But look at the 16% coming from US and Canada, and Africa and the Middle East. so many people have to learn that there is a standard for washer disinfectors. In part 1 to 6, what does it all mean, all these letters? ISO means International Standard Organization, and all members are the national European countries, members from US, Japan, and all other countries, and many other countries. EN means the letters. In case European standards are published, the national standards are automatically obsolete in the European Community countries. And BS means British Standard Publications. It's important as professionals in infection control or leaders of a hospital that you know that these guidelines and standards exist, and you can download and buy them via the internet. They are not expensive, but they are worth to have them. Part 3, human waste containers, is intended for bedpans, urine bottles, suction bottles. It's slide 57, sorry, I forgot to tell. And it's all described about emptying, flushing, cleaning, disinfection, rinsing, and drying. Important part, but not well known. I ask my colleagues, who of you are using a washer disinfector or macerator? And this is interesting. The Netherlands, 100%. Followed by West Europe, and then Australia and New Zealand. But then it was a shock for me that these machines are not used in many other countries. If you have modern hospitals, machines are so common to use, and all the techniques are so common to use. Only not for bedpans. I want to mention too, in West Europe, it may be more macerators, but I got only one hospital responded in UK, and I know there are more macerators there. Coming back to washer disinfectors. It's safe handling for human waste at any patients, always by any healthcare workers. Slide 59. It's safe results. Prevention of transmission, that's so important. Also important is visible clean product and no odor. Have you ever smelled the sluice room where no washer disinfector is? You have validated disinfection possibilities. And in these times with budget cutting, it saves nursing times. It protects the nurse from exposure and all other healthcare workers. But all over, it prevents infection by contamination, environment, and prevents contamination of the hands. If you have a washer disinfector, it's so important to ensure a safe cleaning and disinfection, not just put a machine, but you have to validate the machine and maintain regular the machine. The water supply, the steam supply, or hot water supply, how is the temperature, the duration time, the loading, and there should be written records kept of all these procedures. And if you have a washer disinfector what is validated and well maintained and followed all the ISO standards, then it minimized the risk nearly totally for C. difficile spores. And I think that's so important. If you clean properly with the good material, then you have half of your problem. And then a little bit of shame, slide 61, I have to admit, in Holland, my colleague did a survey in Amsterdam recently. She will maybe, after my real retirement, follow me up as bedpan queen. But she did ask a lot of questions, but one was, do you regularly maintain and validate the washer disinfector? And you see, the answers, the upper two in regular maintenance was yes, but not from one to twice a year. But validation, 17% in the second row in slide 61 answered no. So we have work to do in Holland. So audits, coming back, it's important to audit, but also give the feedback, and then only then you can change things. And this is my practical experience from the left and the right slide on 62 slide. The left slide was on a ward, a washer disinfector, and the head nurse was not interested in cleaning at all. She said, well, this is the professional responsibility and not my task to control. And this was the result. Nobody wanted to clean inside the machine. And because there was so much rubbish in it, and fecal rest and calcium rest, that's why the washroom disinfector didn't work properly. At the right side, it's a long time ago, we didn't reach the temperature in one of the machines. And what happened, by trying to solve the problem, they found the pipeline for the hot water where the two lines were connected together and twisted. One line was twisted and there came no water through. The question is then, who is responsible that this can happen? And you see to the right picture, that should not happen if there was always a validation before you start the process. The next slide, please. Optimize bedpan management. The next slide. The mind wants change. The head wants progression and the heart wants to keep what it got. We always did so. And not a problem. That's my words of my tutor, Professor Andreas Voss. You need education, system change, and motivation if you go for a washer disinfector. Education, you don't need to do that alone. Work together with the patient safety department. Find every department involved what can be important in your hospital. And cooperate, please, with all the manufacturers. They can help you a lot. If you try with education, if you start with education, don't tell only once the nurses how to use handling bedpans. Include cleaning staff and the housekeeping. And do it regular. Repeat the education and practical training. Include in that training the chain of infection, preventive measures, and the risk for contamination. And include that they had to minimize the handling by hands. How is the situation with education in Holland? Again, wow, not bad. Not too bad. Well, a lot to be done, not 100%, and I'm only content with 100%. Go to slide 66, system shames. If you go to it, used bedpans must be covered. Restrict the disinfectant. Store clean, separate from not clean. Install in dirty utility rooms washer disinfectors. And say yes to system change. Yes, we can have it. Again, I told already why machinal disinfection is preferred. Because it's much and much safer. We go to slide 68. The motivation, because so many people tell me yes, but, and they have a lot of reasons why not. If you want to change, you have to motivate all the people involved. Tell them it's always safer for patients, the first thing and most important thing, but also safer for healthcare workers. Nurses' hands are made for care and not for manual cleaning and decontamination. Nurses must realize their own specific role, and they don't do it yet. And if they realize they have their specific role, they can play an important role in demanding for a washer disinfector. If you demand for a washer disinfector, you have demand for a bedpan. And then you have to ask yourself, do we need patient-bound bedpans? The best comfort for patient and healthcare workers, and it's amazing. In Western European countries, we all use stainless steel bedpans with a grip and a lid. In contrary, with a lot of countries who are using said, well, that's too cold for the patients. We prefer plastic ones. But I think, what's the difference between patients in our part of the world and different part in the world? It's a kind of perception. The only thing is, you need a bedpan which you can safe transport with a lid and a cover and a firm grip. What's easy to empty, what is seamless, what is heat resistant, and what left no residues, And that brings me down to the picture on slide 69. You see a bedpan, no cover on it, stainless steel, that's okay, but it is like a cup, and after cleaning it always holds a lot of water residue. Very difficult. And then see at the other, more to the left, the bedpans. How handle you these? I ask, I saw people walking with them, handling it like a tray, balancing on their hand, or holding their thumbs in the opening, talking about contamination. This brings me back to decontamination Spalding scheme. In my opinion, Spalding scheme is not sufficient for handling bedpans. Bedpans can come in contact with mucous membranes and with non-intact skin. They are contaminated inside, of course, we all realize that, but also outside. They are putting in the bed mostly, and the bed is already contaminated by the patient's bacteria and flora. There is always a risk during emptying, splatter splash and aerosols. Manual decontamination is never a SOP. We all know, and since we heard last week, the hand hygiene compliance is still low, and we contaminate our hands definitely if we do it manual. And then if you realize what I told you, that there are no washer dispensers are in the sluice room, then you can realize there's a big problem. And last but not least, misuse and overuse of the disinfectants. Then urine catheters and diapers should never replacements for the use of bedpans and urinals. No, think about it. The risk for infections is too big. The budgets. Yes, I know, it's not yet everywhere on the budget priority. But you can ask for it, you can demand for it, nurses can demand for it. And it's the same as that a surgeon says, well, I need a new endoscope or a new knife or whatever. It happens, it's the same process. They ask for it, but then they ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then the third, they fight you. But finally, you will see. You win if you can convince the people with all your good arguments that you need a better system. The cost for one patient with a Clostridium difficile association disease, slide 73, then you see it's a lot of money it costs. And the financial on the bottom loss per patient per day is 165 euros, nearly $200. So per day, per patient. So it's worthwhile to invest in washer disinfection. The resume, all on slide 74, what you see in red. Bad smell, the emptying in toilet or slop hopper, the exposure, the contamination, the flushing. You can read it by yourself, and you can read it after that when you see the slides again. It's a real problem. It's everything is in red. The only thing, human error and technical error, is possible if you have a machine, or if you do it by hand. But I advocate and I will promote, think about handling bedpan management. The next slide, please. The first thing what you have to do is focus on your current practice of handling. Only validated and maintained washer disinfectors are effective. And architects should design nice sluice rooms with space for washer disinfectors. You need sufficient electricity, water supply, and sewage connection. The next slide, please. I want all to thank you, and I want, maybe we have some minutes for questions, to listen to me and all colleagues who contributed to the survey and all who supported me all through the years. And you see, here is standing Miss Bedpan Queen. Always dreaming, do no harm includes also bedpan management. Thank you very much.
Gertie, thank you very much. As always, it's a tremendous teleclass. In fact, I believe this is your third teleclass lecture for us. The other two are also available in the Free Access Recordings Library, and they're all very good. You're very passionate about this. And
thank you, Paul.
Unfortunately, we do not have time for questions. We're at the end of our hour together. However, I see that you have your email address on the title slide, and I presume that it would be okay if people contacted you directly if they have questions?
Of course. Everybody can always contact me, and then we can talk about this, my second most favorite subject. First favorite subject is hand hygiene.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your husband, but he's third or fourth down the road.
Oh, sorry, but in workspace, yes.
Now, if you are going to the CHICA conference or the APIC conference in June and May, then you will be able to meet Gertie there. She'll be wandering around. You'll be able to see her. She's a very stylish lady with the nice red hair, and she can't be missed. Thank you to our teleclass sponsor, MECO, for their sponsorship of this program and for their support of infection control education worldwide. Again, they really put a lot of effort into training and education. I'm very grateful for that. And Gertie, thank you. It was, as I said, another classic Gertie teleclass. I look forward to more of the same in future years. Thank you very, very much for that.
And thank you all who listened to me.
Well, the same for me. To everyone who is listening, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.